A mighty river, and we just praise God today for what he's going to do in this live show right now from Clearwater, Florida. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are so glad you're joining us today, or perhaps on down the road as you listen to the show on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Mm-hmm. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. To my right is my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. You sweet, sweet, dear man. How are you? All right. Okay. That was cool. Applesauce. You got applause and everything. And to my left is Nan Watson, a new member of our radio team.
Thank you, Bill. Listen to that.
All the applause here in the studio. You know, all those masses of people here.
Wait, I didn't hear that for Pastor Marcia. And here to my right is Pastor Marcia.
I prefer the drum roll. There we go. And our engineer, Bill. Welcome, Bill.
Oh, how's it going in there, people?
Hey, it's going great. We're excited about today's show. This is a life-changing show, Bill. And you've never heard us say that before, have you? That it's a life-changing show.
God will take care of you.
Amen. Yes, he will. Amen. Amen.
He never sleeps.
No, he does not. He is always awake. Amazing. God is so good, Pastor Jim and Nan. We are seeing blessing after blessing. Last week was our big 10-year anniversary for the ministry. That was exciting.
Full house of people.
So much fun going on. So much. And the anointing of God was wild. Wasn't it strong? And so much ministry to people.
I was going to say, it hasn't stopped.
It hasn't stopped. This has been going on. We're in the middle of a revival at Beacon of Hope that started several weeks back, and it is amazing what God is doing. It's so wonderful. I mean, we got to all agree on that, right? Do we all agree on that? Most definitely, yes. Most definitely.
Absolutely.
There was so much going on in people's lives today. Ministry. And we'll talk more about that as we go on with the show. But for those of you that are joining us on the internet, that is great. And we're glad you are. Those of you in the Tampa Bay area that are joining us on the radio, you can also access us at tantalk1340.com right now on the internet. So, and that also has video, and you can see how cute Pastor Jim is over here. And Nan, and there we go. You guys are great. Pastor Jim, is it just absolutely wild, the move of God among us at Beacon of Hope?
It is, and I don't want to give anybody the impression that it's like crazy wild.
It's not just crazy wild. It's amazing wild, isn't it? It's actually peaceful wild.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how you define that, but try that.
The Holy Spirit is moving in such a way that people's lives are being changed.
Yes.
And we've actually got some pretty big prayer requests out there at this point. But we're believing God for miracles because we do believe that God honors his word.
Amen.
And that just like he did in the first century, God's the same now as he was then. He will honor his word.
Yes.
With signs following.
He does.
And, you know, we're believing for some pretty big things to happen.
Absolutely. And it's amazing what God is doing every service, and people's lives are being touched and changed.
Amen.
And that's why I can say with confidence today that this show today will be a life-changing show. It really will. If you get on board with what God wants to do in your heart. Nan, what do you think God's doing?
Oh, he's doing some mighty things.
He's even working in you, Nan.
He's even working in me.
Yes, he is. I've noticed that. Yeah.
You noticed?
I have, and I'm so proud of you. Because it's a matter of surrender, isn't it?
Surrender, yes. Most definitely. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. I think we've talked about that before on the show. When I've been here, that's hard.
Yeah.
I know, like, for me, I mean, one of the things that, I don't know how much we'll have an opportunity to expound, but bottom line, one of the things that Lord dealt with me about was I was still holding on about 5% of my will. Mm-hmm. And he showed that to me yesterday while spending time with him. And he said, you know, the blue line, we talk about the blue line of surrender at our church, basically to go up to the front to surrender unto mm-hmm. the Lord. And he really dealt with me, and I said, you know, God, I want to give that to you.
Yes.
And that kind of evolved over a little time of preparation of things happening in my life. It didn't just all of a sudden, boom. But God was already kind of preparing me to show me that.
Right.
And he showed me that, and I didn't realize it. Oh, but no, God, I thought I was like really right there with you. Yeah, you were, except 5%, you weren't. And you know what? I was able to take that up front this morning, and I have had such a peace like I have never experienced in my ever life.
Praise God.
Since doing that. So
that
was
a decision you made, correct?
It was a decision, yes, ma'am.
Pastor Jim, talk on that, will you?
And peace, I think it's so important to point out that peace is the umpire. Mm. You know, Paul writes that, you know.
I love that in the Amplified Bible.
Right. The peace will act as an umpire in your heart. And that's when you know that everything is submitted to God. I mean, we've all been there where we've got that last little bit and not, you know, and I say this encouragingly, but now comes the fun part where when you want to try and take it back,
no,
can't do it.
Do you think I would do that, Pastor Jim?
Honey, I know you would, because we've all done it.
Well, that's exactly right. There you go.
You know,
he's being honest.
Right.
Yes.
You know, we submit in the, sometimes that submitting is the easy part.
Right.
It's the remaining submitted, the walking it out that can be hard. I know. I mean, you know, and then, but my point was with the peace. That's so good, because you kind of know when you're starting to try and manage things on your own.
Right.
Right.
Because the peace is the first thing to go.
Exactly.
Because usually when you take it back, you're, oh, I got to do this. I got to do this.
The obsessive thoughts and the confusion and all that stuff starts.
And all of a sudden, the peace just, that dove just flies right out the window.
Right. And it is a process on a daily basis. Sometimes it's an hourly basis or a minute by minute where we are struggling to try to figure it out or do it on our own. And God is just saying today, he was saying it so strongly in our time of worship, that, you know, just lay it down. Give it to Jesus. Give it all to him. And dear listening audience, no matter what it is that you are struggling with right now, God has answers for you today on this show. He has answers today for you, because you don't have to continue in some of the same confusion and some of the same issues that you've been in for a long time. Now's the time to be free.
Amen. And God doesn't want you to stay in those same things.
Right.
He has so much more for each one of us.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter if you've just become a Christian today and been a Christian for almost four decades like me. There's always something new. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm sure Billy Graham, God shows him new things every day. And that man has been saved forever.
Isn't that wonderful about God, that it's not stagnant? He's not stagnant. We aren't stagnant. We never arrive where we know it all.
Right.
Where we have all the revelation that there is to have, or we have all the answers. It's never like that. I mean, Nan, it's a continual process constantly of growing. And when we do what you did today, is come to that line of surrender and say, okay, God, here I am. Here's the issues I'm laying down, and I'm not carrying these anymore. He is like, heaven is cheering, you know, when we make those kinds of declarations.
Right. And he is.
All right. That got her. Yes. But it is, isn't it? It's
absolutely. I think what happened with me, the Lord dealt with me yesterday. We spent about 2 hours together. And together, and just listening to the Lord is pretty cool. And he dealt with me about some things in my past, hurts and problems, and things I needed to forgive, and largely I needed to forgive myself about a lot of things.
Absolutely.
And he brought things to remembrance, and I wrote them down that I'd forgotten about. But
right.
he let me know those are there, and they're helping to make you be the way you are, but you need to give them up so you can be the way you need to be for me.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, oh,
whoa,
my goodness.
Why? I said you can repeat all that twice.
I don't think I can repeat that. What was cool with my...
I bet it'll end up in a poem.
It probably will be in a poem, yes.
Maybe before we leave here today. But the thing was, with my situation... And the Lord, as you know, the Lord specifically spoke to me. Do we got to go to a song?
Go ahead.
The Lord specifically spoke to me and said, write it all down. I typed it on the computer. Write it all down. When you walk up to the blue line, hand it to Pastor Marcia. That's
yeah.
symbolic that you're bringing it to point of surrender. And her receiving it is symbolic to you of me receiving it.
Praise
You've
God.
Brought it to me. You've asked me to take care of it. Mm-hmm. I've taken care of it. And I don't pick it up again.
Amen.
And, I mean, and of course... That's not something that we do at our church, that people go up and they hand the stuff to you. That's not a norm.
No, no, that's not
ever
normal.
Happened. That's not a normal thing.
That's just
what
God told you to
God
do in this particular instance.
God told me specifically in the situation to do that, and I did.
Yes, amen. Because we don't confess to a priest. We can
Absolutely
go straight
not.
To God.
Absolutely not.
Yes, Brother Billy's got his hand raised.
Well, I back in the 90s, something similar to Nan, what she's talking about. Maybe you can help me understand. The Greek Orthodox Church, back in the 90s when I was working at this other radio station and I did something, they told me to write it down on a piece of paper, and they took it to their church and everybody prayed over it.
Well,
everything.
We do that kind of stuff, yeah. There's
oh, wow.
a lot of times that people, we get requests in on the internet, well, you know, or, you know, word of mouth. We write them down, we pray over them, and that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, that some of the Orthodox priests that live in Tarpon Springs, they have a little cross and
yeah.
some wood, little pieces of wood inside that
yeah.
cross. And
yeah.
They say that's the part of the original cross.
Do they? Oh, now that I don't know anything about.
Jesus was one.
Well,
hallelujah. I've met a couple of those guys.
Okay.
And I'm glad you're here.
Well, we're glad you're here.
One thing,
and
can I clarify something just before
sure.
we go to song? Just want to make sure everyone understands. I don't have to go to you and tell you.
That's right. No, you do not.
That is happening with
mm-hmm.
me. I'm going to surrender
going
to God.
To God.
I'm not surrendering to you.
Exactly.
I mean, you're my pastor. I love you, but we don't surrender
no.
to you because
no.
you're. Merely the shepherd of
I'm
these
just
sheep.
A human. Just
we're surrendering to God.
Absolutely.
I only did that specifically because God told me to do it.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Well, and it was a symbol.
It was very much
symbolic.
A symbol. Yes, it was.
But that is a good point. And no, we go directly to God. Praise God. Blessed be your name by new song.
We come to worship the Lord tonight. We proclaim your righteousness in this great assembly. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Sun's shining down on me when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing. Darkness closes in.
Praise God. What a great song by New Song. I love that song. We've done that a couple times recently at Beacon of Hope. Our own Aaron Boone plays that on the guitar and sings. It's a great, great song. Blessed be the name. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Let's get to Genesis chapter 35 today. Last week we started talking about Jacob. And today we are in a series. I did not realize that last Sunday when I preached last Sunday's sermon. Because our theme has been remembering the goodness of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me this week and said that the series we are in is being blessed beyond. What does that mean, Pastor Jim? Being blessed beyond. Genesis 35, everybody.
Well, I'm going to use the scripture that you had mentioned this morning, Ephesians 3:20.
Yeah, love
now that. Now unto God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine.
Yes.
To him be glory in the church and in Messiah Jesus, above all that we can ask or imagine, okay? I can think of a lot of things.
Right.
And I can ask for a lot. But God, beyond all that, that's what he wants to do for us.
Yes.
And it's not just he wants to, you know, have me win Powerball, although that would be very nice.
That'd be nice.
But God blesses us so that we can turn around and bless
Amen.
Others.
Amen. And that is what
That's
it's about.
That's the whole point.
Yes.
And whether it's a financial blessing, a healing, putting food on our table, whatever it is, God does these things so that we can then turn around and share them
Amen.
With others.
Amen.
And being blessed beyond is just, you know, sometimes we have, well, if, you know, God, if you'll just get me through, if all I need is a nickel, you know. But if you want to give me a dime, that's okay. Well, God's saying, you know what? I want you to be self-sufficient all the time. I want
Absolutely.
To bless you beyond
yes.
that kind of stuff.
Yes.
We limit the blessings of God. Lord, take away my cancer, okay? That's a big blessing.
Sure.
But beyond that, make me healthy.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Let me continue to be healthy.
Beyond
what we ask or imagine.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because it is not just having enough. You know, when we hear in Genesis 35, Jacob sees Jesus, God, and has this revelation of him. And God had, back in Genesis 32, when Jacob was fighting with God, wrestling with God, and, you know, Jacob at that point reveals his name, which we know that his first name was Deceiver, Supplanter.
Heel Grabber.
That was his first nature, you know? We all have that nature that we're born with that is not regenerated by the blood of Jesus until we make that decision.
We all have Jacob.
We all have Jacob in us, okay? And I find it very interesting in Genesis 32, where we were last week, that when they're fighting God asked Jacob his name, and he says Jacob. And then Jacob says, what's your name? And God doesn't reveal his name right there in Genesis 32, does he? He waits. He waits a while and allows this kind of thing to begin to happen in the inside of Jacob, where he goes through some life experiences that aren't too pretty in Genesis 34. And yet now we see him in Genesis 35, and God has told him to go back to Bethel, which is the place where the wrestling match happened, which is also the place
where he saw the ladder.
Where he saw the ladder. Y'all have heard of Jacob's ladder. That was back when he was headed and on the run.
Right, when he was on the run from his brother Esau.
Same place. Now God says, I want you to go back there again. Now we're going for the third time. And now on this third time, and I love that, and I didn't bring that out this morning, but isn't that good? On the third time, the third day, what happened on the third day? Jesus came out of the tomb, a risen Lord. So now on the third time to Bethel, something huge is going to happen. And it starts with God telling Jacob to make sure that all his household, I'm in verse 3, he's taking his whole family. They're going to Bethel. And he says, throw out all the alien gods, which you have. Take a good bath. Put on clean clothes. Hmm. We're going to Bethel. I'm going to build an altar there to the God who answered me when I was in trouble and has stuck with me everywhere I've gone since. There's some benefits to getting older because we can look back and see all the ways that God has blessed us and all the ways that he's always been there. Woo! Why did they have to take a good bath and put on clean clothes anyway, Nan?
Pastor Jim would be better to answer that question.
Okay.
Because they're in the desert, they needed a bath.
Okay, thank you.
Metaphorically.
But God told them, and this is what kind of blows me away, but you'll remember when Jacob spent a lot of time fleeing from people.
Oh, yeah.
When he was fleeing from Laban.
Yeah, he was on the run.
His father-in-law,
a lot.
Yeah. When he was on the run from Laban, Laban caught up with him.
Yeah.
And his wife, Rachel, the one he loved, had stolen the family idols.
Yes.
Hmm. Now, it just, you know, it kind of freaks me out that literally they were carrying around these little idols with them.
Mm. Who knows what they
looked
like. I mean,
here is God's chosen ones carrying around these little idols.
Yes, that's true.
But God said, okay, I've let you carry these around. Ooh, I'm going to start preaching.
You
Pastor.
Go right ahead.
I've let you carry these around long enough.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's time to give them up.
And,
and the same thing, what you brought out this morning.
Yes.
In our own lives, we may not have little idols in our house that we need to go bury out behind the tree. But in our lives, we sometimes will have things and God will say, okay, you've carried this in your life long enough. It's time to give it up. I've got something better for you. But in order for you to get there, you have to give this up.
Amen.
And, you know, God is so good that he doesn't ask us to do it all at once. Some people he might. I'm not saying he won't. But for a lot of us, that would be too much. And our faith may not be at that point yet where we could just dump everything.
Right.
But it's like you talk about the onion.
Yes.
Time to give up this little idol.
Right.
Time to give
Peel
up this idol of pride.
Yes.
Time to give up this idol of unforgiveness.
That's right.
Time to give up this idol of self-righteousness.
That's right.
Whatever it is.
Yes.
God kind of takes them away, but he tells us to do that. And then we have to purify ourselves. Mm. And purification was the only way you could meet God, was to be purified. Well, you know, so that's why they took that good bath. They had to wash all the dirt off of them. And, of course, we do that through reading the Word.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, so then they, you know, changed their clothes. They put on their garments.
Right.
We put on our garments of salvation.
Yes, we do. Robe of righteousness.
Right. The robe of righteousness.
Good stuff. Yes.
And that's how we can, that's the only grounds upon which we can meet God.
Amen.
Is if, and it's not our righteousness, as you're probably going to get to when we get to 2 Corinthians. It's his righteousness.
Amen.
Because our own righteousness is not enough to ever get us into God's presence.
Exactly.
His righteousness is, and he freely gives that to us.
And isn't that wonderful that we have this Old Testament story thousands of years ago that happened, and God was already thinking ahead to us and knew that we could learn something here from taking the idols in our lives, burying them under the tree, at the foot of the tree, which is symbolic of the cross, burying those things that we like to hang on to, like you just said, pride and jealousy and envy and whatever those things might be. And then knowing that when we do that, then we can really put on those clean clothes. Take that bath. It's really good. Nan, did you have a comment on that?
Oh, yes, I sure did. Now I can
bet
say something,
you
Pastor
did.
Jim.
All right.
You know, we're talking about the stuff in life, and which is what I did. It was so, I mean,
that's
it
what
was
you
so
did
cool.
today.
It was so cool because the Lord's dealing with me about this stuff yesterday. I had no idea what you were preaching about today.
Right.
And you start preaching, I'm going, well, Lord, we did that yesterday. We did that. I mean, it was so cool.
And we didn't discuss this.
Oh, we did not discuss this.
That's how the Holy Spirit works, isn't it?
At all, you know?
Yeah.
But one thing he said about the robe of righteousness, one thing I had forgotten about, when the Lord had told me earlier in the day, spoke to my spirit and says, we're going to be spending some time this afternoon. I'm going to lead you.
Yeah.
And the things you need to give up. You need to surrender.
That was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
So he's kind of said, okay, now I want you to go out to a park. So I went upstairs, get my computer and everything, and he said to me, I want you to change clothes. And I said, I hadn't told you this.
No.
I'd kind of forgotten it. And I'm like, change clothes? Well, I'm dressed fine. No, I want you to change clothes. So I did. I changed into some shorts. I put on a blue shirt.
Blue is for healing.
Blue is for healing. I said, oh, I can't wait to pass about this blue thing. This is cool. And I forgot, of course. And I even changed my sandals. I changed from one set of sandals into another sandal.
Wow.
And I said, God, I don't understand why you're doing this and why we're doing this. But you say to do it, so I'm going to do it. It's fine. I just need
obedience.
To get out there. It was like, what a trip.
And how that goes along right here with this. Did you have a comment to that, Pastor Jim?
It just amazes me continually.
Yes.
How cool God is.
Yes. Oh, yes. Doesn't it? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Just that, because I didn't, I mean, you know, as I reread this, it's like all that stuff just came to me.
Right. Mm.
And yet it ties in with what you preach about. It ties in with Ann's experience with God yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, God fits.
Yes,
God
doesn't does he? Fit, he you know? Always yes, he does. He always confirms, like when he tells you like that to do what you did. Then he comes back and he confirms it and allows you to realize that you did hear from God. Because we all get times where we wonder, am I really hearing from God, or is that me or the pizza I ate last night? You know, what is it I'm feeling there? So anyway, and so Jacob, God did what Jacob told him. We're in Genesis 35, if you just tuned in. And so Jacob obeys God and they do this. They got rid of all of their alien gods. And it says in the Message Bible there in verse 4, and their Lucky Charm earrings, which I think is hilarious, frankly. Anyway, just referring to the cereal and stuff. Anyway, Jacob buried them all under the oak tree. Okay. And then they set out. Now, interesting, as they obeyed God, God started defeating their enemies as they set out.
And I saw this morning at the end of chapter 34.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that was that whole sordid story about Dinah and how the Shechemite leader had raped her, then wanted to marry her. And so her brothers, Simeon and Levi, decided, fine, but y'all got to be circumcised. When all the men had been circumcised, went in and destroyed them.
Yeah, so they killed them. Yeah, it was crazy story.
So now Jacob says, they're going to destroy us.
Right.
I mean, I love Jacob, not only because that's what my name means.
That's right, yeah.
But
James,
he's so human, because here, he had just wrestled with God in chapters 32 and had all this nice, neat stuff happen, made a covenant with the people in the land. Then this whole Dinah incident happens. And what does he do? We're going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so human.
He's
and
so
then
human.
Here in chapter 35, the terror of the Lord fell upon all the nations. They left him alone.
Yes.
You know, that's
God
just
went
amazing.
Ahead and fought the battle.
Right.
And he stood in the gap for his people, because God had already promised Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, his father, Isaac, and now Jacob, that his descendants would be the ones that would just populate the earth. I mean, just all of these. And, of course, the Messiah was coming through this line, too.
Pat, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, okay, give away my teaching on Wednesday night.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. All right. We won't go with that line of thinking then. We will go on.
Nope, we'll go somewhere.
Yeah, go ahead, Nan.
Can I read a poem real fast?
Read a poem. You know, God all the time blesses you with poems. In fact, Brother Bill wants to know when your first book's coming out, and it will be out.
It will be out.
It will be out.
It will be out.
Yeah. Go ahead. When did you get this?
Well, this afternoon. I felt it was something I was supposed to write, actually to share on the radio.
Okay.
And it's along the lines of bearing things, which is kind of what I did this morning and yesterday. It's called Being Blessed Beyond. Father, I desire to have blessings beyond what I've received from you before. I've learned that through you, I will abundantly be blessed. Before me, you have now placed the door. I have traveled with all of these feelings, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, pride, sorrow, inferiority, abuse, and many others. From you, I know that nothing hides. To you, I now bring all my baggage. I will bury these feelings at the cross. Leaving them there, I will move forward, knowing that for that stuff, he paid the cost. Being blessed beyond what I know, Father, I desire all you have for me. Help me to not I wrote it really bad. Help me to not pick up my stuff. Help me to continue to be free.
Woo. That's good stuff. That is right on, isn't it?
We need to leave it there, and it's
we
hard.
We need to leave it there. So Jacob and his family left all these alien gods, and we need to bury our, like you said in the poem, Nan, our old resentments, our old anger, our old unforgiveness issues, our pride, all the things that would keep us from becoming all that God has for us.
And that's such a key thing there, you know? I mean, God can use us.
Right.
I know that God has used me in some ways,
sure,
and in some poems and different things. God is using me. I know that. However, He couldn't use me the way He really wanted to use me because I was still holding on to some of that stuff and did not realize it was there. Some I knew and some I didn't.
Exactly.
Some of that stuff was from, well, had to do with my ex-husband, and we divorced in 93. So how long does a man work on that?
Long time ago. Yeah.
You know? And way back from there, that was still hanging around me. I allowed it to, and I had to surrender to God for the terrible things that were done to me in our relationship. And I had to surrender to God
right,
to what things happened in my relationship.
Exactly.
And I had to make a decision. I am turning it over to you, God.
Amen.
I am going to forgive. I'm going to move forward.
Exactly.
Because I want to be the best I can be for you. I want to be 100%
Amen.
Sold out to you.
Amen. And I think a lot of times, Pastor Jim, we don't realize some of these things because we are not in a position to hear the voice of the Lord. There's a lot of people that, and I'm not saying you have to go to church, but in church, so much happens when you're in an anointed service where God's Spirit is moving and talking to us individually. And when we put ourselves in a position to be blessed and spoken to, He comes and speaks to us.
Right, right.
You know?
But we have to have an open ear.
Ooh.
You know.
Totally. Absolutely. Okay, so here's what happened. So Jacob and his company, I'm in verse 6 of Genesis 35. Jacob and his company then arrived at Bethel, also called Luz, in the land of Canaan. And he built an altar there and named it El Bethel, God of Bethel, because that's where God revealed himself. I pointed out this morning, there are like 4 or 5, maybe 6, I don't even remember now, places in Genesis 35 where God says God revealed himself to Jacob. How important is that, Pastor Jim? What is God trying to remind us here of how important it is for him to reveal himself to us?
Well, we need to have that revelation of God because otherwise we're lost. I mean,
right.
You know, and once we know God, once we've come to God through Jesus, we need to have that continuing revelation of Him, because without that, we tend to just wander. I mean,
totally.
You know, where there's no vision, the people perish. Where
right.
there's no prophetic revelation, the people perish. God reveals Himself to us so that we can continue to grow, so that we can continue to walk with Him,
exactly.
so that we can continue to be where He wants us to be. And without that, it's just like we're wandering with no GPS.
Right.
Nan,
no GPS.
No GPS?
Yeah.
No GPS? Oh, no, I'm lost.
Well, I mean, but
right, yeah, spiritually.
Without
yes.
that continuing revelation.
Yes, amen.
It's like trying to get somewhere without a, you know, without a GPS, and so many people rely on one
right.
so much, or without a map for those of us that don't have GPSs.
Right.
Praise the Lord for MapQuest.
That's right. That's right.
But we need that. We need that that path marked out for
That's
us,
right.
and it's God's revelation
mm-hmm.
through the Word, through the Spirit that guides us.
Absolutely.
That brings us along continually. Without that, we just we'll either stand still or we'll take the wrong road.
We have to have more than one revelation of God, right?
Right.
We have to have this become a part of our lives, really, on a, I won't just, you know, say a daily basis, but periodically we have to have a fresh revelation of God and who he is for us in that moment, who he wants to be for us. Does he want to be your healer right now because you have a bad diagnosis? Then you need that fresh revelation that he is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. You know, is he your strength? You know, and what is it you need? Are you physically ill? Are you weak out there today listening to this? Are you depressed?
Right.
Are you in the midst of anxiety or panic attacks? God wants to be for you the strength you need to rise up and say, I can overcome this. I can be blessed beyond these circumstances, you know? Now, this is interesting because it took Jacob obeying. God said, I want you to go back to Bethel. Jacob could have said, I've been there before.
I know what the place looks like.
I know exactly what it looks like. And I hear there's no new shopping centers or anything. Do we have to go back there? And Bethel is the house of God. It is the place where God meets us. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I brought this up, I think, last Wednesday night. I've been saved almost 38 years. It'll be 38 years the end of this month. And in all that time, even in my backsliding days, I still read the Bible. So, I mean, I've pretty much read it through a number of times. I can identify with Jacob because it's like, you know, the Bible is our revelation. Primary source of revelation is the Bible.
Absolutely.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes that general word, the Logos, become Rhema, our personal word, that revelation of God. And, you know, it's like, here we go again. I've been to the book of Genesis. Lord, I've been to the book of First Chronicles. I don't want to go back there. But every time God provides new revelation.
New revelation, absolutely.
It doesn't matter how many times you've read it.
It doesn't.
Something pops out.
It does not matter how many times you've read Genesis 35. And I know the three of us have read it many, many times through our lives. But look at the fresh revelation today that he is giving us. And now that he gives us that, he's expecting us to act on it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's the downside to revelation. When God reveals something, he expects you to act on it.
But that's the upside, because we learn and we get stronger when we actually act on it.
I've heard, you know, some people will complain, well, I'm just not hearing from God. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland talk about, well, if you're not, look at the revelation God's given you and go back to the first one that you didn't do.
Right.
You know.
Go back to where you just said, no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
It's amazing. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, we're talking about returning back. Mm-hmm. You know, I can almost sometimes relate to myself because I know me. You know, and that's who I can relate to.
There's probably many people out there relating to you right now.
Oh, relating to me. Going to the blue line, which is what you
what
know,
you want to explain that to our listening line, audience? Well, it turned green today.
It turned green today. It's a blue line. It turned green. It was miraculous. A miracle occurred in our church today, and actually, miracles did occur in our church today.
Miracles God did, but it's a joke way. That it it's went from joke. Blue to green. Yeah, I accidentally it. Called it green.
Green.
But green symbolizes life, so
that's
I think
right.
that and blue
okay.
is healing. Go ahead.
But I thought of going to the blue line today, and I've been to the blue line many times before, and I probably will again, but returning there under knowing that God really wanted me to. It's interesting. I walked in the parking lot, and one of the ladies said, "You are walking very confidently today." I got all excited. I said, "Let me tell you what's going to happen today. Guess what God told me to do? God told me to go to the blue line. I've got this whole list." You know, it was just really exciting
Praise
to
God.
Be able to share that and to go back to the blue line. You know,
the blue line is equivalent. When I was growing up, Pastor Jim probably, well, both of you, the altar.
Yeah, the altar. Basically, it's the altar.
The altar. Our altar is only half there right now because part of it is in storage. So we do have a little short altar. But when I was a kid, it was come to the altar, you know, and I don't think it's any different. It's just a place where is set aside for action.
Well, I think
I like
regardless if we have all the altar out that we have, I still want to keep the blue line. Let me tell you why.
We've had it for years,
well,
so I
God.
Guess we will.
We're going to keep that thing. I walked down, I stood on the blue line, and I looked down, and my toes were on the blue line. So I thought to myself, this is symbolic for me, okay, for me. I thought to myself, my toes are on the blue line. No way. I centered up my feet. I know this is like minor, but to me it was very symbolic. I centered up my feet.
Okay.
So I was centered on that blue line.
Absolutely.
Now, does that change whatever God's going to do for me? No. But for me, it was symbolic to me, to God, that I am centering myself and I am standing firmly, not just tippy-toed in, firmly right there.
More firmly on the line.
And it is symbolic. Aaron, our guitar player, who was on the show last week and did some songs and did a great job, this morning when she was positioning herself to get ready to start the service with her guitar and everything, she looked at me and she said, "See where my foot is? It's going to stand right here on the blue line today." And that happened for her. She had a tremendous experience with God today. So what we are saying is, it doesn't matter if the line is red or green or blue or if it's an altar. It is a place of decision and a place of action. That's what we're talking about, correct?
Correct. Well, you can have that. I mean, that's also in your home.
Absolutely.
Your altar could be your recliner.
It can be.
It could be the side of your bed. It could be laying in your bed. It could be sitting at your kitchen table. Wherever you feel most comfortable. And you kind of set that place apart. I know in my house I have this L-shaped furniture with a recliner. And I always would meet God at the recliner.
Yeah.
And that's where I did my devotion in the morning. That's where I got down and prayed, you know, at 5:30 in the morning before I got up to get my son ready to go to school and go to work.
Right.
That was my place.
That was your place.
That was my place.
Woo! You know, in Indiana at Cornerstone, when we had started the Christian bookstore, and then the Bible studies came from there, and I'd gone to the school of ministry for a while and came back, and so many people were saying, let's start a church, and I was the one that was really lagging back. Having grown up a pastor's and missionary's daughter, I always thought that I did not want to pastor, and I thought that that was not, God would never ask me to do that. And so, of course, he did. And this battle between God and I went on for several months. And there was finally a point of decision, and the lady that made the cross that hangs now in our church, Beacon of Hope, and also made the thing in my office about the seeds, okay, Paula, she and her husband are missionaries in South America now, but she had built me a little altar, just big enough for one person, out of timber from their barn, and I had it in my little office above the bookstore, and that day, 8 months into this struggle with God over starting the church in Indiana, Cornerstone, it was snowy. I'll never forget that day. It was windy. It was cold. I went upstairs to my office, and I knew that was the day of decision, that God was calling me full-time into the ministry and calling me to start a church, regardless of what it might mean, you know, on down the road. And I knelt at that little altar. So that was the blue line for me at that point in my life. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it can change physically, like Nan said. But, it can come up suddenly.
Exactly.
Because sometimes you'll be called to make a decision, and it, you know, it may be in the supermarket or wherever.
Right.
You know, God may call you at odd places and odd times, and that's okay. You know, as long as you make the decision.
As long as you make that decision.
Right.
So open our ears and listen to this song by Maranatha Singers, "Open Our Eyes, Lord."
And
Praise God. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. You know, this had to be the prayer of Jacob. You know, God, I want to see you, because God just kept revealing himself to Jacob. And when we are closed off to God revealing himself to us, he doesn't do it. He is does not invade our free will. So that tells me, Pastor Jim, God, this was the desire of Jacob. He wanted to see Jesus. Go ahead, God.
Well, and sometimes the other thing happens is that we try and make the decisions for God.
Right.
I mean, this happened in Jacob's life.
Right.
When his mother, Rebekah, was pregnant with him and his brother Esau, God said the younger one is going to serve the older.
Mm-hmm. God knew.
Or the older one is going to serve the younger. So
right.
Jacob was going to be over Esau. So,
right.
I mean, that was God's promise.
Right.
You know, Esau is going to serve Jacob. Jacob's the child of promise, just like Isaac was. And yet Rebekah, along with Isaac, and you had mentioned this too, it just didn't believe God for it. I mean, first of all, Esau comes back famished.
Right.
And Jacob says, you know, and Jacob's cooking his pot of lentils. I happen to love lentils, too.
Oh, I think that's more like beans and cornbread.
Yeah. So
my version of it is.
And Esau said, well, give me some of this. I'm famished. And Jacob said, fine, sell me your birthright.
Right.
And Esau stupidly did. But
right.
So there Jacob got the birthright of the firstborn. And then when Isaac was old and was blind.
Right.
Jacob stole the blessing of the firstborn.
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder he fled in terror from Esau. Of course, Esau would have been just livid at that point.
Right. Because that implied that Jacob would be blessed financially twice as much as Esau.
Right. I mean, not only did he get the birthright of the firstborn, but then the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was tremendous. And yet... He did it. Try to get God's promise done in the flesh.
Right.
And, you know, we're sometimes that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God will give us a promise and we get a little tired of waiting. So we'll think of ways we can make it happen. We just become a little like Jacob.
Speed it up a little bit.
Right. Well, and, you know, Jacob, the deceiver, the manipulator, we try and manipulate people. We try and manipulate God.
Absolutely.
You know, God's made some promises in all our lives, and sometimes we just have to wait for that promise to be done.
Amen.
We can't force God's hand because, I mean, look what happened with Jacob. He had to flee.
Right.
He ends up being deceived then by Laban, his father-in-law.
What goes around comes around rule.
Exactly, because Jacob falls in love with Rachel, ends up with her, I'm sorry to say, ugly sister Leah.
Right.
Has to work 7 more years to get Rachel.
Right.
Ends up having, basically taking both of their maids as concubines.
Right.
And you read that history all through the end of Genesis. It's just one big dysfunctional family.
Oh, it's totally a mess.
You know, I mean, they're all hating each other and, you know, and then, well, it's just a mess.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, there's a good argument right there, not for, you know, polygamy. Just because, I mean, read about Jacob.
We agree with
and
that.
And his 4 wives.
Yeah. Right.
What a mess that was.
Yeah.
And yet it's all because he tried to force God's hand. Who knows how the book would have been different had Jacob just said, okay, I'm believing that, you know, this is what God told Mom.
Right.
And I'm believing it.
Exactly.
You know, who knows what would have happened, but
he spent 20 years on the run, basically, and being deceived himself. Yet God, through those 20 years, and we mentioned this last week, God always provided. Mm-hmm. God abundantly blessed him. Mm-hmm. When he left Haran and went back to Canaan, he went back a very wealthy man with all kinds of flock, with 4 wives and 11 sons.
Right.
Mm. I mean, he went back blessed. And I think this is a good example to so many of us that when we allow this sin in our lives to cause us to do things we shouldn't do, you know, or have wrong desires or get ourselves into all kinds of messes. God has an amazing way of bailing us out when we have a heart after him.
Right. And that's what happened with Jacob is,
yes,
you know, he finally got fed up with Laban, but he needed that push, and God said, okay, time to go.
Right.
Well, then on his way back, he hears that report, your brother Esau's coming. Well, you know, we read further in the narrative, we find out Esau was coming peacefully.
Right.
But Jacob was, he hadn't forgiven himself.
There you go.
For
that's
what
it,
he
right
had done
there.
To Esau earlier.
So he was walking in fear and terror, wasn't
yes.
he? Afraid.
He was terrified of Esau.
That this was going to happen. And we talked about that a little bit last week's show in Genesis 32, how he just tried to make everything, arrange things so that he had plan B, you know?
Right. Yeah,
and,
he sent some of them ahead.
Yeah.
First he sent his gifts, then he divided his own group into
yeah.
two.
He right.
figured he's not going to get back this far.
Yeah.
But, he was, and here, Esau, you know, Esau was ready to forgive, and Esau even
absolutely.
Said, well, let me go with you. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm going to go over here.
Right.
I have to take it slow. And then, you know, and Jacob, again, lied to Esau and went a completely different direction.
And got into all kinds of problems.
Yes.
All the stuff with Dinah and all of that. Yet we come to Genesis 35 and we see that God says, I want you to go back to Bethel. I want you to get back to where you belong. Get
right.
to the house of God. Get to the place where I can reveal myself to you again. Let's
right.
let's quit going off on these little,
Side trips.
Rabbit chases. Whatever it is you're doing over here, Jacob. Let's get back because we got a work to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's been going on in your life, Nan, for a while.
For a while.
Been bringing you back to that
yes.
place where he can really use you. Pastor Jim, I went through years where I was kind of, I wouldn't say I was running, but I was on the shelf, I felt, that, you know. And yet God just kept on saying to me, I am going to use you again. And then he does, you know, where God reveals himself. Woo, what'd you start to say about all that? Happened to you, too.
Yeah, it happened to me.
Happens to a lot of people in the ministry.
I mean, of course, given my life situation, I figured, I'd been prophesied over when I was, you know, in my 20s about...
Right.
You know, about having a ministry and leading praise and doing stuff with praise and worship and being a teacher. And then I took a big old sidestep. I found out that I was gay.
Right.
And I figured, all right, God ain't going to use me now.
Right. That's that unworthiness that's feeling that God can't use you.
And a misunderstanding
right.
of a lot of things.
Right.
So what happened is then, you know, I basically... like Jacob, attempted to run away from, well, more like Jonah, attempted to run away from God.
Oops.
because, you know, it's like I
Nan
was mad
can
at
relate
God.
To
right,
that.
Because I was, you know, I was told, hey,
right.
God will heal me, deliver me, whatever me of this. And that didn't happen, so I figured...
God can't use you, right?
Mm. Well, no, I kind of blew off God. Fine.
Oh, you were mad at God.
Oh,
yeah.
I was really mad.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I figured he couldn't use me. I mean, I guess all those things were just lies.
Yes, amen.
Ha, ha, devil.
Well, but then all of a sudden, you know, God starts pulling you back.
He so does. Just like he did to Jacob here, you know.
Right.
Come on, Jacob, let's go back to Bethel. Come on, we're going back to Bethel.
Then, you know, then I did pastor a church in Chicago. And I look back now, and there were a lot of things I would have done differently,
sure.
very similar to the path you took, Pastor.
Right.
You know, what you talked about, some things that God's shown you.
Sure.
I needed to do those same things in that church. So I was so frustrated after that. That's when I felt put on the shelf again, because I said, I don't ever want to pastor a church. I don't want to have anything to do with pastoring a church. I just don't even, I'll maybe go to church, but I don't want to be active in a church. Well, y'all can see where that got me.
Yeah, exactly. yes.
But again, it was that I didn't feel, because of the mistakes I'd made, plus it just, I didn't want to deal with it again.
Right.
Quite honestly, I didn't want to deal with that all that
right.
crap again. Crap
right.
A, sorry.
That's right.
I just didn't want to deal with it all, because
right.
it's it can be a real pain in the...
Yes, it is. It can be very difficult to be a pastor, to be in the ministry. Absolutely. But God didn't let go of you,
God
though.
God never let go.
Jim, God never let go of you.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And because when Ray and I were going to move down here, I was like on the internet looking for a church.
Right.
Just someplace I could go and listen to the music, get fed, get taught, someplace where I could hide in the back. Beacon of Hope seemed to fit the bill. Well, at that point's when they were meeting at Howard Johnson.
Right.
There was no hiding in the back at the Howard Johnson.
No, there wasn't. Not in that little room. It's after the truck ran through our building.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
But you're absolutely right, because God never let go. And, you know, there's been times since I stopped pastoring the church in Chicago where there were times where I had to make a decision. One was when I went to Spirit Fest in Mishawaka, whatever, in Indiana. And I remember telling Ray, I'm going to come back here, and I just know God's going to tell me I got to start pastoring again.
Yeah.
Well, he did. But I thought it was in Chicago, and nothing ever happened. Nothing. I ran ads in all the newspapers.
Right.
Nothing ever happened.
Right.
And it was at the same time that we started, you know, coming down here to vacation and, you know, kept being pushed to move down here. And so.
And here you are.
Here I am.
And now you're right here with us alongside me.
And I'm blessed.
Yes.
I mean,
blessed beyond.
Blessed beyond, because I never thought.
Yes.
From that first Sunday, well, first of all, I never thought I'd, you know, really get in. You know, I wanted church to be comfortable.
Right.
And it was, I mean, church was beyond wonderful, you know, beyond comfortable. It was wonderful. And yet God has, you know, still put it in my heart. No, I've called you, and the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable.
Right.
He's not going to take them back.
Exactly.
Once called to be a pastor, always called to be a pastor, to the chagrin of our partners at times.
Right. Sure. Sure. But look at the obedience, and look what Jacob. What Jacob did here, he willingly went to Bethel. He willingly got rid of all the idols in his family, you know. He willingly buried them under the tree, made everybody take a nice bath and put clean clothes on, and go to the house of God.
And the blessing came to him.
And
at
here's
that
the
point.
Blessing.
You know, woo! I mean, he went to Bethel, and then God said, you know, again, your name's Jacob, but I'm going to change it to Israel.
Amen.
You're no longer the heel grabber. You're the prince of God.
You're the
one who struggled with God.
Yes.
And I think it's important, like we said before, that here, this happened another time.
Yeah.
Just because Jacob got that revelation that one time, I'm changing your name.
Right.
Sometimes we need to be reminded of those same revelations.
You don't see him changing much right then in chapter 32 with the wrestling match with God. He had to go through some more hard times before he got to chapter 35, where he's ready to find out God's name and what God is all about. And we're going to talk about that in this next hour. We are so glad you're joining us here on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And as you can tell, we're excited about what God is doing. If you do not have a home church and you are in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you. We have a very eclectic, is that what you call it? A variety, diversity,
diversity,
diverse
diversity.
Congregation, races, different races. We have gay, straight, we have mamas and babies, and we have all kinds of diversity, I guess, in our congregation. And so every single person is welcome, whether there be diversity or not, everybody's welcome. And we're at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. And that is right off the 275 bridge. If you're coming across and get off at the Almerton exit and just go up a few blocks, not far at all. And we are right behind Burger King. Sunday mornings at 10. Wednesday night at 7. Pastor Jim, Wednesday nights are fantastic. Don't you just love what God does on Wednesday night?
I do, because we have our prayer meeting.
Yes.
At 6:15.
Mm-hmm.
We take prayer requests and praise reports. And I love writing down the praise reports. Yeah. I love keeping track of those because I can look back. Well, we prayed. Hey, you know what? We prayed for this 3 weeks ago, and here's the answer.
Right.
We prayed for this last week. Here's the answer. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. And then we have Bible study, which I love. You know,
so
I
much fun.
I love getting into the Word.
Yes. You talked last Wednesday night. It was fantastic about the what the Word is all about and the validity of God's Word.
And we're doing boot camp basics.
We
which
are.
Is just basic doctrinal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, both you and I felt in our spirits that we just need to make sure the foundations are strong.
That's right.
You know, Scripture says if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?
That's right.
So we have to make sure that our foundations are strong. We have to know what we believe and why we believe it.
And that's what we do on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We're done about 8:30, and then we have praise practice for those that are on the praise team. Wow, God's doing a lot of things. You two stick by here, and it's Station ID time.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Arkansas, how about that? Amen. So there's like eight stations up there.
It's not eight stations, it's eight states. The station covers eight states.
There we go. Eight states. Right. Okay. And we're live in that area right now, too. So this is really cool. And we thank God for all the listeners. We'd love to hear from you. We've got email up right now. You can email directly to the computer here. It'll come in right here. And also, this is my email address, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can do that right now, and it'll come up here. If you want to talk to Pastor Jim personally, pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. And so we are so glad to have you with us again for this next hour. And God is blessing. We're in our fifth year on the radio. What a joy. So many shows. We're in the 240 range, I think. This is not the right number.
That's not the right number.
But, you know, 240 someplace around there. And we just mentioned Sunday morning is at 10. That's a great worship service. Mighty move of God. We never know what's going to happen. It was just wonderful today what God did. There were so many people. Just really doing work today on that blue line of surrender.
On the blue line.
Yeah, they were doing work, and you were one of them, Nan. You were doing a lot there with
God. Did he do a lot of work this morning, as we all know.
Amen. And you know what? It just makes you more pliable, more useful in God's hands. You know, you're more able to do what God wants you to do.
We know it's one thing amongst the list of things that I needed to surrender to God.
Sure.
There was also some other lists of positive things that have happened and other things, but there was also just stuff, statements and things like that. And amongst that, was something about now after you do this, that you've been the pottery that's on my will, the potter's will.
That's right.
And I'm making you into a beautiful vessel.
Amen.
And after you go to the blue line, surrender the other part of yourself to me. Put all those things on the blue line and leave them there.
Amen.
Then you will have become the beautiful vessel that I want you to be. Of course, he's always working and remolding us.
Exactly.
It's not like I've arrived or anything like that.
It's not a one-time shot.
It's a process. It's a process.
It's a process of surrender. So we're talking about that today on Living the Good Life. If you have a prayer need, we encourage you to use our 24/7 prayer line. It's an email line. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. When those requests come in, and they come in from around the world, so it does not matter that people do not have to become a part of Beacon of Hope, right?
Right.
Anybody can use that prayer line. Right. You want to talk to them about that?
Well, if you have a need, send it in to prayers@beaconofhope.com. It will go out to myself. And
Beaconofhopeministries.com.
Beaconofhopeministries.com.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you. It will go out to me, to Alice, up to Georgia, and then we will send it out to everybody on the prayer list.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets prayed for all across the country.
Right.
And we've had incredible answers to prayer.
Tremendous
because
answers to prayer.
There's nothing like the unified prayer of committed people.
Amen.
God moves.
Absolutely.
When he
does.
Hears that. And we've seen that happen so many times.
So bring on the prayers. Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. If you want to be a part of the prayer team, you can do that regardless of what church you go to. Just send an email to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com and say that you want to be on the prayer team. Oh, we're going to start with this wonderful. I love Sela, this group, so much. Sela? Did they pronounce it? Sela, don't they? Yeah, wonderful, merciful Savior.
Precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
God, wonderful, merciful Savior. I love that song. Our dear Yvette from Fort Myers and Maribel that were on the show last week. Yvette sang that at our praise celebration last week. It was wonderful. Great song. Love it. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we're excited about this topic, being blessed beyond, because we've been talking about Jacob in our first hour. If you missed it, it'll be on our website probably by Monday night. Usually we get every show. We've got a lot of our past shows, really, for the last year and a half, couple years, on our website. You can go listen. We've got a lot of space on that website. So you can go listen to any of these shows. And if you missed the first hour today, you can pick it up sometime this week on your own. But we have this situation where God tells Jacob, you know, Jacob, I want you to go back to the place where I revealed myself to you. Go to Bethel. Go to the place where I spoke to you. I showed you certain things, and, you know, where the Jacob's Ladder situation happened, where the wrestling with God happened. So we see Jacob obeying in Genesis 35. And now we're down to verse 11. And God now decides to tell Jacob his name.
Hmm.
How cool is that? After an act of obedience, Jacob going and doing what God asked him to do. And now he says, in fact, let's start with verse 9. God revealed himself once again to Jacob after he had come back from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him. Your name is Jacob. This is what you were just talking about, mm-hmm. Pastor Jim. That's your name no longer, because that name meant heel grabber, supplanter, deceiver. From now on, your name is Israel, God, wrestler, and prince of God. And you know what is so cool about that is that God does change our names into being something that we think we can never be. He can call us prayer warrior. He can call us faithful to do the things that God has called us to do. He can call us by all kinds of names, right. But he now reveals a little bit of himself when he says, by the way, let me tell you my name. My name is El Shaddai. I love that. I love that because here he reveals his character in his name. Ooh, his name, El Shaddai. You know what it means?
Yes.
Yes. Just have it draw a blank?
Yes, because that's something else on my mind.
All right, go ahead and say that, and then we'll come back to his name.
Okay, thank you,
go
Pastor.
Go ahead. We don't want to have too many thoughts on there at once.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know. Let's just go back to that original thought.
Talking about names.
Yes.
Several months ago at church, you know, we all know I kind of went through my Jonah stage, and we called me Jonah, and it was open. I mean, it was my thing just because I was kind of running from God. But then one day, I don't know, you'll probably remember, but I think Pastor Jim was there. One Wednesday night, I said, I just want to be happy.
That's right.
And I started crying. I remember that. I just want to be happy. And then you guys said, what was it? Asher.
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 So Nan. So they started calling me Nan Asher.
That's right.
And I actually wear dog tags. That's a long story, but that the Lord helped me to get. And I have some things engraved on those dog tags. And one of them is my name, Nan Watson. And the next line is Nan Asher.
Oh, fantastic.
And because that meant a lot to me that my church family, in a sense, God renamed me.
Yes, he did.
Through
yes,
my
he did.
Church family, bringing right. the realization of that name that I...
That you can walk in joy. You can walk in happiness instead of depression and all of the old.
So anyway, so I got my name changed. And then my actions caught up with my name finally.
And you know what? That's true. Sometimes it does take time for our character to catch up with our name.
Oh, and think about Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abram.
Yes.
You know, exalted father. Abraham, father of many.
Yeah.
Okay. And yet it was 25 years nearly, or at least 24 years maybe, for that to happen.
Right. For him to catch up to his name.
Yeah, right. Before Abraham saw the realization and
right.
actually became the father mm-hmm. of Isaac.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's pretty amazing.
It is, it
but
is.
He just kept confessing it.
Right.
He kept confessing mm-hmm. that name. Every mm-hmm. time he said his name or somebody else said his name,
right.
it reminded him of God's promise.
Mm. You know, my parents, because my dad understood these things, being in the ministry, they actually named me Marcia on purpose with that spelling because it means heroine of faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. Heroine of faith. And they would tell me that different times when I was a kid. You know, we named you that for a reason, you know, because you're supposed to walk in faith, you know. And that is cool to know that was an intentional thing.
Right.
But yes, it took me a long time to grow into that realization that, hey, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be a heroine of faith. You know, I'm supposed to be what my name was named on purpose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So here God says, my name's El Shaddai.
I got the answer.
You got the answer?
I got great notes from this morning's sermon.
All right, go ahead.
All sufficient one, more than enough.
More than enough.
More than enough.
Amen. Woo, that's El Shaddai.
Right.
El Shaddai.
And what's the significance, Pastor Jim, of God revealing that name? Because he has lots of names. And these names refer to his character and show us a little piece of the puzzle of who God is.
Funny you should ask, because I just was reading here.
Okay.
And he says, you know, I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation, indeed a group of nations, shall come from you.
Mm-hmm.
Kings will be descended of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, you know, I'm going to also going to give you the same land grant promise that I gave to Abraham and Isaac. Well, here's the all-sufficient one saying, because I am going to bless you, this is what's going to happen to you. You will be fruitful. You will multiply.
Amen.
Nations will come from you.
Right.
Kings are going to come from you, and you're going to get all this land. Mm.
And this is in keeping with his nature,
exactly.
El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the God who is more than enough, okay? You know, there's several of you out there listening who may have had a prophetic word spoken over your life at some point. We really pay attention to those prophetic words that God speaks into our life and to our situation. And this morning when I was praying over and giving a blessing over those that had come up to that blue line, there were different times that I felt God telling me, tell them this, you know, this is what's going to happen, or this is who I am for them. And we need to pay attention when God says, I am this for you. Okay.
Yes.
I am your provider. I am the all-sufficient one. One of the definitions of El Shaddai is the many-breasted one, which is what God calls himself in Psalm 91 when he says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shelter of the Almighty. And it's the picture of the mother hen nature of God, you know, where we just kind of get up on his lap and put our head on that big, you know, chest of the Lord, and we just sink into who he is for us. Mm-hmm. And I love that. There are times in my life where I have needed to be comforted, and there wasn't a human being around to do that very thing. And I have learned to turn to God and climb up on his lap and put my head in his chest, you know, and let him hold me and comfort me. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, that's such a neat picture of God, because truly, all through Scripture, God is always presented in masculine terms. And yet, that particular name shows the more mothering side. And
the
there's
mothering
also
side.
Scriptures in Isaiah 66, where he says, just like a hen, I'm going to do this. Jesus alludes to those in the Gospels, but I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks.
Yes.
You know, so often we have the picture of God as a stern old man with a long white beard.
Right. And that's...
And, you know, whether he has a beard or not, you know...
But a lot of people equate that with fierceness, with anger, with judgment.
And that's not...
Father Time, you know, you see that description.
That's not the whole picture.
It's not the whole picture at all. No.
So I think this is an interesting name. And he revealed himself under this name to Abraham.
Right.
You know, I'm El Shaddai, walk before me.
Yes, he did.
I'm the one who's more than enough for you. I am your sufficiency.
Amen.
And that's what he promised here to Jacob.
Yes.
I'm your sufficiency, and because of that, you're going to be fruitful, you're going to multiply.
Amen.
And all these things are going to happen.
Right.
Well, you know, Pastor, you were talking about kind of getting up in the lap of God.
Yeah.
I was reminded, I can go through my Bible, and I can see times when I've marked that. I went through in 93, very nasty divorce, in 95, very nasty legal stuff, and false battery charges by the ex-husband's wife. You know, just stuff that shouldn't be going on. That's
hard
not
stuff.
Fair. Hard stuff. I mean, you know, you're talking about legal stuff. Mm-hmm. That's not fair. And yet, in those morning times at my recliner, I was just up just on the lap of my Father.
Right.
And he would show me Scripture. And that's what I can look back in my Bible and I can see. I've marked dates, incidences with those dates.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. He showed me that. Wow. He showed me that. And he just was loving on me.
Amen.
Just loving on me.
That's
and loving
his
on me
nature.
And showing me things. And I could go back then and look. And when Satan tried to come against me and whatever, say, look what my God said he's going to do.
Amen.
He's going to give me peace in this situation.
Amen.
Praise God. Look at this situation. Look what he said about what God showed this to me when we were talking about the situation with Bradley, my son.
Yes.
Bradley. Look what God said. Look what God said.
Yes.
I don't care what you say. Look what my Father said.
Amen.
And he was just loving me through all that and just giving me Scripture as reminders of how much he loved me.
And we just played that song, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. And I think it so applies here to this discussion because God shows his mercy and his love for Jacob through all the things that you mentioned a little while ago, Pastor Jim, where Jacob really messed up, you know? And he went through, he had a very dysfunctional family, and they, his sons didn't really behave the way they should have many, many times. And yet, through all that, God still fulfilled his promise to Jacob, right. And he carried it out. And the line of the Messiah, Jesus, came through Jacob's line. Came through Jacob's line. And I just find that fascinating. I really do. And, you know, at this point in this, in chapter 35, Jacob's own mother, Rebecca, has already passed on. She's gone. And they've buried her nurse, you know, at, there under the weeping oak, you know. So, and that nurse was probably one that helped take care of Jacob a lot. So I find that an interesting side note, that here God calls himself, the mother nature of God here is revealed when Jacob probably needed that. They had just buried the nurse, you know. That, I think that's all just kind of interesting how God cares about all those details in our lives. So he promises to take care of Jacob and reveals himself as El Shaddai. So let's go on to verse 13 of Genesis 35. And then God was gone after he revealed himself. He ascended from the place where he had spoken to him. And Jacob set up a stone pillar on the spot where God had spoken with him. And again, that is so important to have those times of remembrance of what God has said, whether it's a prophetic word, whether that is an experience on an altar, at an altar, on a blue line, whatever it is, where you can go back and you say, wait a minute, on that day, I drove a stake in the ground and I made a decision.
You know, if they, if people don't, I would really encourage them to write those things down, whether it's in the cover of their Bible or in a journal. Because some things were spoke to me today about some things that I'm going to do. And I'm like, wow, wow, oh, you got to be kidding, really? You know, and God will fulfill
that.
God made promises, and God will fulfill them. And I've got today's date. We'll be going with those things with a list, and as he fulfills each one of those and it comes to pass, I can put the date when it came to pass.
And I encourage people to get journals and do that. Exactly what you just said, Nan. Did you have a comment to that?
Well, I was going to say, too, the next verse is, and then he traveled on.
Yes.
Sometimes people get a revelation and they just stop there.
Oh, yeah.
Even though, hey, Bethel was a great place.
Right.
God met him there, and yet Jacob had to move on.
That's so true.
And, you know, sometimes we can get stuck on one particular revelation or God said this and then stop listening to anything else God might say.
You know, that's profound because there are seasons in our lives, you know. When God called me to leave my church in Indiana after pastoring 7 years to the day, it nearly broke my heart. I mean, it was, I couldn't imagine where I was headed or what was happening. And interestingly enough, I was 10 when we left Indiana and went to Central America as missionaries. And the church that my dad pastored for 7 years, actually 7 years, like I did in Indiana, Cornerstone, was called Bethel Friends Church, and it's in Marion, Indiana, where I was born. And I remember the day that they were sending us out, the church, to go to Central America to become missionaries. And I remember standing up, my sisters were younger, I was the oldest, and we were standing up there in front with mom and dad, and somebody was singing that old song, So Send I You, to labor unrewarded, to, you know, and all of that, that sending out. And you know, I think my parents were so comfortable in that little church, and it was growing like crazy. It was God was doing a lot of things, but for my dad to answer the call and my mom to agree to it, and to take off and go to Central America, primitive situation, to a land where we couldn't even speak the language, you know, when we got there. But yet, going into that next season of our lives, you know, which that's the season that totally changed my life because of what happened, all the things that happened to me in Central America where I saw the power of God and realized that God had a call on my life. I mean, really realized it, you know. But it's that willingness of Jacob taking his family, my dad having to take his family and say, no, God's calling us to the mission field. Mm-hmm. And we would like to stay here with you, but we can't. We got to go. We got to go on. The traveling on. You know, that's a really good point, Pastor Jim. And traveling on to the next season, the next place where we're going.
Well, right. And I think, you know, I look at denominations.
Yeah.
They tend to cluster around a particular doctrine.
Right.
Churches, you know,
that's a good point.
The charismatic church tended to cluster around this, that, or the other thing.
Right,
and
sure.
God has so much more for us. We have to be willing, like the Israelites, to follow the glory cloud.
Amen. Amen.
And be willing, you know, when God lifts up that glory cloud, it's time to pack up and follow.
And follow. Boy, this show did not go the direction I thought it was going.
That's not what you said at the beginning.
Man.
The generalities you share.
Matt Mayer, No Greater Love.
For the city, for the world we pray. Let your light shine down. Come around and live in us. For the close the far away.
God, no greater love. The love is God's love for us and God's plan for your life. The theme for this show has been going on 5 years now, Jeremiah 29:11-14, where God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you and bring you into a good land and plans to give you hope. And that's what it's all about, dear listener. God's got wonderful plans for you, like he did for Jacob. He never let go of Jacob,
right.
Even though Jacob really messed up in a lot of ways and got all kind of crazy for a while and went through some hard times. Yet God had a plan for Jacob's life and he brought it around. And those of you listening, Nan and Pastor Jim and I were just talking how this show did not go at all again like I thought it was going to go. And I learn all the time. It's just really how God wants it to go.
Pastor, you're talking about Jeremiah 29 and how God has plans and how he doesn't let go. You know, I can look back over my life. I was hurt in a church very deeply and walked away and said, that's it. No more.
Decided not to go back ever, right?
Decided not to go back anywhere ever again.
How many years ago was that now?
8, 9,
okay.
10, something like that. Long time.
Yeah.
Long time. I kind of picked up a church in the middle there, but then I got hurt there too, so I said, forget that. And then I met Connie, and Connie's actually, I was a ministry project for her.
For four years.
She, you know, for three of those years, she kept trying to encourage me to come to church every once in a while, and I wouldn't go. But God had a plan.
You guys were always texting and emailing, weren't you?
Absolutely. She was, you know,
a burden for you.
She did. The woman had a burden for me. I mean, yeah. And she was
she
there.
Still
I
does.
Had, she still does. Connie, listening. I know you still do. She's probably going to text me now. She was just a wealth of knowledge and wisdom for me.
And compassion.
Because I was in a relationship, and there were issues in that relationship, and so I would text her about how do I handle this, and she just gave wise direction. But all that was part of God's plan for my life.
Right.
And I haven't arrived. I'm not so great. I'm not any of that stuff. But I am where God wants me to be now.
Amen.
I am doing my best to do what I need to do for Him and to be obedient and to surrender to Him. So God had a plan.
Amen. So here's Jacob. Thank you for sharing that, Nan. They left Bethel, and we are in verse 16 of Genesis 35. They left Bethel. They were still quite a ways from Ephrath. Okay. When Rachel, which is the love of Jacob's life, this is the one of his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and a concubines. This is the one that he loved beyond. He worked 14 years to get Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel went into labor. She was getting ready to have her second child. She went into hard labor. When her labor pains were at their worst, the midwife said to her, by the way, I remember those days of having babies. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it was a pain.
Yeah, wasn't it? Don't be afraid. You have another boy. But she was, you know, they didn't have medical, you know, advances or anything. And with her last breath, she was now dying. She named him Benoni, son of my pain. I just love this, Pastor Jim. Mm. But, I like the next word, but. This is in the Message Bible. His father, Jacob, named him Benjamin.
Son of my right hand,
son of good fortune and blessing. Son of my right hand. And right hand, all through the Word of God, is talking about your authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, Pastor Jim, talk to us about that. How significant is all that? And tell us where they buried Rachel.
Oh, how cool.
Some of you don't know where they buried Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we go back to the naming part. I mean, I can understand Rachel giving that child that name, but I'm really glad Jacob stepped up and changed the name.
Right?
Can you imagine going through life with the name "Son of My Trouble"?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now there's a kid destined for problems.
Right, right.
But Jacob renamed him Benjamin. Son of my right hand, son of my authority.
Yes.
And interestingly to note, two very remarkable people in the Bible came from that particular tribe. Saul, the first king of Israel.
Right.
And Saul, the apostle.
The apostle Paul came from the tribe of Benjamin. I love that. I had not thought about that when I was preparing this, but that's so true.
Yeah.
Saul and Saul, who became Paul.
Paul the apostle.
Both came from the tribe of Benjamin. Yeah, that is too cool. Benjamin, God of good fortune, or son of God of the right hand, versus son of pain. You know, that wouldn't have been real good.
Son of
trouble.
Yeah, son of trouble, or son of my right hand. And the right hand, of course, was always the good one.
Right. Exactly.
No offense to those of us that are left-handed.
Right.
Just in the Bible, they looked at the right hand as being the fortune hand.
And probably more people are right-handed today than there are left-handed.
Absolutely. So then, you know, Rachel had died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem.
Yes.
So she was buried on the way. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, and that tomb is visible. Now, the book of Genesis was written by Moses about 1400 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying, and we know there's about 400, 500 years in between this event and when Moses wrote.
Right.
But he's saying, you know, that pillar is still there.
Still there.
Jacob grieved for Rachel, built this pillar, and then, you know, built built this pillar over her tomb in Bethlehem, of all places.
Of all places.
And, of course, out of Bethlehem.
Micah 5:2.
Came,
2,
well,
5.
That's where David was born.
5:2.
And that's where the Messiah was
yes.
born. That's where Jesus was born, prophesied in Micah 5:2.
Yes,
2.
5:2.
So, what a conversions of all these cool things.
I love
things
that
right
stuff
here.
Right there. Rachel dies there, which is so symbolic of us giving up our old life and dying and letting go. And yet from her death comes life.
Right.
And born in Bethlehem was David. Born in Bethlehem was Jesus. And wow, is that not cool? That's just wonderful. I love the things. And, you know, Pastor Jim, nobody could put all that together. Only God Almighty, the God omnipotent and mm-hmm. omniscient, could put all those details together.
Okay, preview of Wednesday night.
Oh, here we go. Can't wait.
Okay. There's over 60 major prophecies concerning Jesus mm-hmm. in the Bible.
Right.
The odds, and I have this actually in the teaching, the odds of only 8 of those being fulfilled are 1 in 10 to the 17th power, or 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's the odds of somebody fulfilling that. If you take 48
wow.
of the prophecies, it becomes 1 in 10 to the 157th power.
Oh, my heavens. That's now, amazing.
Now, that's how incredible.
Yes.
This is
ooh,
that, you know.
So rich.
Well, that God does this kind of stuff.
Right.
Because, I mean, even the 8 prophecies, there's not even been 100 quadrillion people living on this planet. And yet that all boils down to one person that fulfilled those prophecies, and that's Jesus.
Amen. Woo! Praise
you know,
God.
It just, I was thinking about that yesterday, and it blew
it's
my
amazing.
Mind. It's just, I'm thinking, wow, because no one else.
Right.
Not any other religious leader, no one fulfilled
right.
these
oh, no.
fulfilled these prophecies. Only Jesus.
Woo. How great is our God.
Amen. Amen.
Sing with me. Woo! Praise God. Nan, you have a comment on all this? This is wild stuff, isn't it?
His numbers are so high, and I thought I was good in math. I can't even follow. But I think that's a...
My secret word. My secret word to type in?
Yes.
Prayed.
Prayed.
Did you pray?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys are in there preaching. I got to type in a secret word. That's a secret word. Prayed.
Prayed. All right. Praise
I thought he
God.
Was confessing what he was doing, praying.
Yeah,
or
he's praying, yeah. Praise God, because God fulfills his word. He fulfills his promises to us. And some of you out there are in a, I'm just seeing this, I just keep feeling this in the last 40 minutes or so. Some of you out there are in a kind of a lull when it comes to knowing where you're going next with God. You're in a place of decision, kind of like, okay, God, I don't know what you're going to do with me next. And the Lord would say to those of you out there that are in this, look how great God is. Look how he took Jacob's inadequacies, his deficiencies, his sin, his attitude issues. And look how God turned him around to the point that Jacob changes the name of his son to the son of good fortune, the mm-hmm. son of my right hand, because Jacob had an experience. He had a revelation with God. Mm-hmm. And God revealed himself to Jacob over and over again. And Jacob was obedient when God mm-hmm. said, we're going back to Bethel. That's where I've been talking to you. We're going back there because you need a fresh revelation. And those of you out there, you need a fresh revelation of God.
Revealing, I got 4 lines to share that the Lord inspired way earlier in this program.
Okay.
It's we've talked about God revealing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people who are going to go, "How? I don't see God revealing himself." Mm-hmm. You know, they read the Bible and it
right.
seems empty, not empty, but empty as far as to their specific circumstances.
Sure, sure.
And it's kind of like a little prayer from them to God. They say, you can reveal yourself to me. I will sit waiting, listening to you. Please let me hear from you in a mighty way. I want to move in your path. please help me to go through. And, you know, God will reveal, you know, I was taking some notes here. You know, God revealed himself in the Bible. And you were talking about how many times in the 35th chapter of Genesis that God revealed himself.
Right.
And people, someone in fact told me this. I mean, God speaks to me a lot. He does. And
yes, he does, man.
He does. and the thing
we're
is,
we're glad he does.
That has evolved over time, and it's like if a guy meets a girl and they start dating and they start seeing each other, they get to know each other more and more as they spend time together. So what we have to do in our own humanness is wait and spend time waiting on the Lord.
Absolutely.
And so that has evolved to the point. This, you know, 6 months ago, he wasn't dealing with me like he's dealing with me now. No way.
But what happened? You flipped the switch and said, okay,
exactly.
God, I'm open to you, you know?
And that's what the people need to be, is open to hear. Just to, sometimes we're not still enough. You know, I'm on the go. I'm a very busy individual. You know that. You are too. I'm busy, 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 busy. I keep busy with my job, with all the things that I do. That I literally have to almost schedule. Let me stop. Let me just stop and wait and listen to what God
has
to reveal to me.
The causeway, the water is so important to me in my kayak or not in my kayak. Right. But it's just that place where I go, where I don't answer the phone. None of that. And I am just there listening for God's fresh revelation. It's where he speaks to me all the time. He speaks to me driving down the road, too, in other places. But it's like that special place, you know, like you're talking about your recliner. For me, it's this gorgeous Caladese Island causeway, you know, it's just incredible. Now, so what we're saying here is that so often, Pastor Jim, we can go through years and years of wilderness walking, right?
Just like Israel.
We can, can't we?
We can. And we don't, I mean, we don't have to.
But we do it.
But we do it because we're human.
Just like Nan said 8 or 9 years ago, she said, I'm not going back in church, right?
Yeah, look at me now. I'm in church, praise God.
All the time.
Same thing.
You said that.
Pastor a church again.
I sat on the beach 9 years without pastoring. Yeah, I know. We've all been there.
But you know, with all of us, we're all sitting here sharing our general stories of that. And there's people, I believe, listening right now who have set back a while for similar reasons as us, maybe. They're setting themselves on a shelf. They've just been waiting. And I think now is the time.
Now's the time.
God wants them to say, come on out. Come on out. It's okay. Come on out. I am here, and I will guide you, and I will be with you, and I will reveal myself to you.
Amen.
And all they have to do is be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Something wonderful happened the other night with Aaron and Terry. I don't know if y'all know the story of the turtle. But they were coming home from somewhere, and in the six-lane highway, there was a turtle. And we have this happening in Florida a lot, where turtles, you know, walk across the highway. And Aaron was just immediately, I got to rescue the turtle. Long story, I'll make it brief. She turned around in traffic, and people were, I mean, it was crazy for a moment. And she stopped her car, and people started stopping, and it was crazy. And she goes and she tells Terry to turn, to drive. And she goes and grabs this big turtle. Okay. Now the turtle is protecting itself. His head has gone in. You can't see the head. You know, the arms are pulled up so you can't really see all that. You know how turtles do when they're like protecting themselves. And I think this is a metaphor for how a lot of people, maybe a lot of our listeners today, have kind of retreated back into their shell. You know, they pulled the head in, they pulled in the arms, the legs. They're not out walking and doing what God wants them to do for the kingdom. They're just kind of there, you know. And this little turtle, big turtle, had been just walking along gradually. He was almost killed. But by the grace of God, God sent Aaron by. Mm. So now she's got the turtle on her lap. Great. And she doesn't know what to do with it. What do you do with this big turtle? Okay. And she said she looked up, and the next block there was like a church. And beside the church, there was a pond, a lake. And she said to Terry, pull over there. And she jumps out with the turtle, okay, in her hand, and in her arms, a big thing, and these talons come out, you know, this, and she goes, oh my gosh, she's going to scratch me, you know. And she got it down close to the water, and suddenly here comes the head out, sees the water, the legs all come out, and she makes a beeline for the water, jumps in the water, and she never sees it again.
Pastor, that I gotta say something. It was by a church. That's the way some of the people need to do. Go for the church. When they see the church, and they need to find a good church, the right church for them. I mean, there needs to be a match there.
That's
but that's symbolic of them going from in the midst of the road, in danger. You're in danger when you're out there. You know,
what a great metaphor.
And to end the danger and to go and find the water.
The water.
The living water.
And then the head comes out. Oh, my, there's water.
Woo! Boom.
Anyway. Because you guys know, we aren't faking this excitement right here on this show about God's Word. We wouldn't be in our fifth year doing this every single Sunday afternoon. I remember when we first started and some friends of mine said, wait a minute, you can't come to our football parties. Don't do that. Don't schedule yourself up like that because we like football parties on Sunday afternoon. And I said, I've got to do what God tells me to do. And I'm sorry that I can't make the football parties because I do love that. But I am so excited to sit here week after week and share the living word and cause people to want to run to the water like Tommy Turtle did.
There you go.
Woo! I love this next song. We used to do it at Dunedin all the time. Aaron or Nathan, if you're listening, we need to do this again very soon by Hillsong. Show me your ways. Praise God.
What a great song.
Whoa, we're going to be doing that at Beacon right away. Show me your ways. Oh, wow. What a great show this has been. You know, they all are. They're all special and have their own anointing. But God is really trying to get to some hearts out there, Pastor Jim, who have lived like maybe the three of us at a period of time, and like Jacob, where we were just like doing our own thing for a while, you know?
We tend to do that. And I do pray that if there are people out there who need to come to Bethel today, who
yes.
need to
Amen.
Who need yes. a fresh revelation
yes.
Of what
Praise
God, who God is
yes.
for you.
Right.
You know, I pray you do be obedient like Jacob was. Come
yes.
to Bethel. And do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
It could be the smallest thing. Mm. It could be a silly thing. Sometimes God tells us to do.
Sometimes it's actually huge.
Yeah. And sometimes it's huge.
Sometimes it's huge. You know, we just got an email from Aaron and Terry. They're going to get that music for that song, and we're going to do that song Sunday. And I don't know if you guys got to hear the story of your turtle, but if not, then you can listen to it on the show. Pastor Jim, you are so right, because so often we have our map planned out of our life. Just like we try to have a map planned out for the show, in a way. I mean,
yeah.
we have the songs, you know.
But the songs stayed the same.
The songs stayed the same.
But imagine if we had stuck to
it wasn't
what we wanted, what you thought God, you know, what
right.
you originally planned. Yeah, I'm sure he still would have had, it would have been an okay show.
But
it wouldn't have been the show that God wanted it to be.
It's the anointing. It's the anointing when we follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Dear
right.
one out there, whatever you're running from in your life, God wants you to run to him and surrender all that you is, honey.
All that you is, baby.
Uh-huh, there you go. All that you is, you surrender all that to God and watch him move.
Yes,
because,
amen.
Bill, instead of our normal end song, we're going to do that one again in a few minutes. I'll tell you when. Show me your ways. Track 6. Nan, let's have some final words because we're getting late here.
I just wanted to encourage people that they may think that they can't be used because of whatever. They need to just turn it over to the Lord. They need to take it and bury it, as we've talked about.
Yeah.
And God can use them.
Yes.
And I wanted to reveal, I do have bipolar disorder, and I'm reasonably open with that. But I'm sharing that for people's benefit.
Okay.
To say, God's using me.
Yes.
I'm regulated. I have medication that I have to take. And my chemicals are just out of balance. And I take the medication to stay in balance. And it's okay.
Yeah.
And look how God uses me. And God's going to be using me more and more at the church because of what God told me this morning. So the church is going to see some new changes going on. And I have bipolar disorder. Wow. But you know what? God can use me. And if he can use me with bipolar disorder, he can use anybody out there. He can use them, Pastor.
He can.
I want
he
them
absolutely
to know that
can.
He can use them, and he wants to use them.
Amen. And, you know, bipolar disorder is much more common than people realize. Connie and I, in counseling last week, dealt with this quite a bit, quite several times.
Mm.
And just knowing that a lot of people with mental disorders or whatever you want to call
those
feel
it.
So unworthy, and they feel that God can't use them, and they feel that they're just so messed up. And thank you for sharing that, Nan. That's not something you talk about very much, but look
right.
what God has done in your life. And he will use you regardless of the label.
And one of the things that I laid down at Blue Line this morning was I actually held God responsible for that.
You were mad at him over that.
I was very mad at him because a lot of stuff has happened as a result of that.
I saw that on your paper.
You saw that. And I was angry, but I turned that over to God.
Yes.
And I'm not angry at him anymore.
Woo, praise God. Praise God.
I had no reason to be angry at him, but Satan was letting me feel angry at him.
Right. So you forgave God.
I forgave God.
Hey, sometimes we have to do that. I was mad because I didn't magically become straight. And I was mad at God for that
right.
because I'd always been told that prayer, fasting, deliverance,
that would take care of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it didn't. So I had those issues too to deal with. So and that's so great because people, oh, I've been mad at God. I can't come back to him. Oh, yeah, you can.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
God understands.
Yes.
I mean.
Don't buy the lie.
Right. Exactly.
Don't buy the lie.
God understands that people, you know, we're human. We're going to get mad at God. Why did this happen? I mean, look at Job. And God, you know, Job got that great revelation of God.
Yes.
In all Job's self-righteousness, he got that great revelation. And then he humbled himself.
Amen.
Just like you did on the blue line this morning, right. Ann.
That's humbled himself.
And then God blessed him double.
That's rich.
Double.
That's
everything
rich.
That Satan
it's the last chapter
away.
Of Job, Job 42. Mm-hmm. Now mm-hmm. my eye has seen you, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I repent.
Dust and ashes.
Yes, I love that. Mm-hmm. And then God blessed him.
Then
he
God
prayed for his
him.
Friends, and then God blessed him. Forgiveness is one of the biggest keys
yes.
right here.
Yes.
And that's what we're saying today mm-hmm. on this show, that it is so important to, for, number one, for you to fulfill the plan and the destiny
right.
that God has for your life. We almost named the show Destiny by Design. And that was a long time ago, 4.5 years ago, and we ended up with Living the Good Life. But it is the destiny of God's design
yes.
that you need to be walking into. And you need to be seeking that with all your heart.
Right.
God,
mm-hmm.
where do you want my next step for you to be? Do you have a change in my life coming? Do you have a different calling on my life? Or do you have a different place that I'm supposed to be serving? What is it?
Mm.
You know, when God called me out of Indiana in 91, I mean, I was kicking and screaming because I love my people and I still do in Indiana so much. And for God to call me into a different area and a different arena was very hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but
you know,
happy about it.
God has a way of seeing us through all those things in our lives.
Yes, he does.
Bill, cue up, show me your ways. Hallelujah. Mm-mm. So whatever's going on in your life, God loves you so very much. He has a plan for you that he ordained. But he will not violate your free will.
That's true.
He will not cross what you choose to do. If you choose to walk away from God's plan for you, so be it.
Right.
There will be consequences to that decision.
Mm.
But if you can say, God, okay, I come before you. I'm sorry. I repent that I haven't done what you would have me do in my life, but I'm ready now. And, you know, God just says, he just forgives us, you
yes.
know? It's just like, okay, fine.
Yes.
Jacob had wasted years, you know?
Mm.
But nothing is really wasted. That's wrong, because nothing is wasted with God. God uses all the things in our lives, all the situations we go through to
yes.
teach us, train us. Show me your ways, mighty God. Teach me what you want me to learn. I want to be molded. I want to be the clay
yes.
in the potter's hand in
yes.
Jeremiah 18. That's my desire. I want to run like that turtle Tommy all the way to the water. And I want to run to the Word of God. And I want to get my head out there. I want to run with strong legs. And I want to become
yes.
all
yes.
I can become
God.
For God.
Praise God.
We invite you to Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we invite you to be a financial supporter. We don't talk about money hardly ever. But you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and plant some tithes and offerings there on PayPal. And plant your finances into good soil. If that's what you want to do, do it. But we're not going to make a big deal of that.
Amen.
It's a blessing if you can. So anyway, God wants you to have a great week. Have a great week. Make some decisions. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, why don't you come to Beacon of Hope Wednesday night at 7? If you have your own church you go to, so be it. That's fine. You can come visit sometime. Sunday mornings at 10. Don't forget this radio show every Sunday at 4 o'clock. And that's Tampa time. And tell some friends. It's a good way to introduce them to the ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. Global. God bless you. Show me your ways, mighty God. This has been Nan Watson, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister. Heroine of faith right here. Going into a new week. Show me your ways, mighty God. Crank it up, Bill. See you next week, 4 o'clock.